We speak on a regular basis to one of the great professionals from the Sydney Adventist Hospital. And tonight, we talked last week about pain. Tonight, cancer. Now, cancer, many of the cancers don't actually come on with pain. A lot of the pain is worse from the treatment of the cancer. And look, I think this is a really important area, particularly for those who are struggling with some of the treatments. Dr. Vahid Mohabati, he's an interventional pain and palliative care physician at the Sydney Adventist Hospital. And I had this conversation with him about this earlier today.
Good evening, John, and thank you so much for having me.
Is it possible to generalise, if you've got cancer, and there are so many different kinds of cancer, is it accompanied by pain?
Correct, yeah. Look, a lot of times, pain itself could be a sign of the cancer. In fact, 30 to 40% of the times, pain could be a symptom that the cancer can get diagnosed with.
But that's not always, is it? I'm thinking when people have headaches and they might have a brain tumour and then other cancers suddenly just emerge, sometimes just by incidental scans. There are cancers, aren't there, that don't give any pain signals?
Correct. That's absolutely spot on. In fact, you mentioned the headaches. The chances of, having a brain tumour with the headaches is actually quite low. In fact, it is extremely rare in patients with headaches to have a brain tumour. Often, a brain tumour is an incidental finding. But when, pain emerges, it's always an alarm system, something that we need, to follow and see our doctors. And unfortunately, as I said, 30 to 40% of cancers do present with pain.
Yeah.
And then, when you have treatment for cancer, this symptom of pain can be even more common, can go up to 70% of people who receive treatment for cancer, whether it's surgery or chemotherapy or radiation or other types of treatment. And towards, the end of this trajectory, this can go even higher, 70 to 100% of people towards the end of their trajectory can experience, fortunately, pain.
Yeah. So that's that adds to the wickedness of this overall cancer and all the different cancers. There are some that just develop without those pain signals. And then there's also then, as you say, the issue of the treatment, which can produce a lot of pain, and people have that then to manage that.
Correct. Look, for example, for diagnosis of the cancer, we need to perform tests. There are some diagnostic tests, such as radiographies or, blood tests, but sometimes we need to do more invasive tests, like taking samples, biopsies. Those procedures can be painful. And sometimes, pain can linger around after, those procedures. Sometimes we need to have surgery for treatment of the cancer. Sometimes, before or after surgery, for example, we need to have chemotherapy. And chemotherapy is notorious for causing a specific painful condition called, chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy. It's actually quite common.
Mm.
Depends on the type of the drug that is used, as well as patient's type of tumor and the condition. Sometimes up to 60%, sometimes up to 100% of patients can develop these painful neuropathies. Also, sort of radiation can cause pain as well. So there are different types of pain that can come from the cancer itself, or from the treatments of the cancer. So we've got to be careful.
So there could be people and who've been diagnosed, listen, you've got a growth, there's something here, it could be spreading. They haven't felt any pain, but they're mm-hmm. told that the process of treating it and trying to retard it is going to be very painful. That's that can often be very difficult to deal with.
It is correct. And sometimes you have to sort of have a compromise. We do often discuss this with our patients, the oncologists or radiation oncologists, that I'm going to give you this drug, but you know, one of the common side effects of this medication is that you will develop a very painful nerve condition. It's called neuropathy.
Yep.
And sometimes it might linger around beyond the duration of the treatment. And sometimes it can affect even the treatment because, you know, people can't tolerate the side effect. The oncologist will decide to reduce the dose, to adjust the dose, or even to stop it.
Is there work being done to try to find ways to treat the pain that comes from the original treatment?
Absolutely. There's actually a lot of work that is ongoing and has been done in the past to manage these types of pain. In fact, the literature is full of different types of treatment that has been tried to, first of all, prevent this type of pain from happening, to minimize it when it happens, and also to manage it when it becomes, you know, a chronic problem.
Yep. All right. Look, I'll just add a little because our line's not great, but we're hearing what you're saying. I think this is really, really important because you're doing some groundbreaking research, aren't you, on pain flowing from chemotherapy. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And people can get involved in this? Are there trials involved here?
There are trials involved, and this is one of the first in the world. We are trying some non-medication-type treatments. We are using what we call a spinal cord stimulator, a high frequency, for the management of chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy. This hasn't been done as a clinical trial before in the world, so it's quite novel. And the studies or the anecdotes that we have is actually quite strong. Patients have been getting really good relief with this type of therapy, and there are some animal studies also showing that it not only reduces the pain but also improves the efficacy of the chemotherapy.
In the conversation we had about general pain last week, there was a view that some people just don't want to actually say, listen, I'm in pain. They kind of grin and bear it. Do you have cancer patients that you want them to say, listen, this is really painful. Can you do something for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And they always say, and sometimes, you know, they actually forego the treatment because, you know, the pain is so severe that they can't really tolerate, you know, the treatment.
I've heard those stories. That's the case, is it? You've got to try and convince them to take the treatment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does affect, you know, their treatment. And this is, you know, life-saving treatment. So if we can control, you know, their pain, the acceptance of the treatment will go up. And the compliance, you know, with the treatment will go up, and obviously the survival rate will go up.
Yes.
And it improves, you know, overall survival, overall quality of life, and, you know, benefits all of our patients.
Yeah. Can I ask then, I notice you also do palliative care as part of your area.
Yeah.
So if someone is essentially terminally ill and then there's a treatment that can extend their life, how are those conversations of saying, well, look, you can have a lot longer, you can, you know, see a lot more, but you're going to have to do it with a fair bit of pain. That's a tough call for those people to make. Do they have to make it?
Yeah, look, we do get, you know, a lot of this conversation. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, it's a tough call. It's a tough discussion. But, you know, one of the most feared symptoms at the end of the life is actually pain.
Hmm.
And if you're able to actually manage the pain and sort of, you know, relieve them from that fear that, you know, we can actually manage your pain 99.9% of the time, one way or another, it actually brings a lot of relief to them. And then they can make, you know, decisions more freely. They can come up, you know, with better decisions. And if they want, you know, to extend, you know, their life and have better choices, they will actually go for it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if they feel that, you know, this is going to be, you know, with a lot of pain, with poor quality of life, then they feel that, you know, their choices are very limited.
Yeah. So what your job is, as a, I guess, broadly a pain physician, is to assure them that there are things that can ease that pain. That's and make sure that they are telling you how they're feeling so that you can help them.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, we have to ask, because, you know, if we don't ask, you know, they think that this is part of the deal.
Yes.
All right. They think that, you know, the pain, it just comes, you know, as part of the package. I've got cancer, and I've got to go through this treatment, and pain is part of it. That's not true. There are treatments, and there are good treatments. We can offer them. They can talk to their oncologists. They can talk to the pain physicians and the palliative physicians. There are many options, and we can help them along the way.
Yeah. All right. Just finally, then, would it be then a message, not just for people who might be going through it, but for those people around them who might have someone who is going through this and they know they're probably not likely to put their hand up and say, oh, is there anything you can do for this pain, that you can ask on their behalf and try and make sure that that pain can be eased?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's always going to be something. Okay. One thing, you know, we can assure them that there is always going to be something. At least we can try, and we will try our best to ease your pain.
Thank you very much. That's a good note on which to end. I thank you so much. One day, of course, this wicked cancer, which is across so many different areas, may not be with us, but it won't be in our lifetime. So I thank you so much for your time tonight.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Dr. Vahid Mohabbati, he is an interventional pain and palliative care physician at the private hospital, Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN, one of the great institutions in Sydney. Sydney Adventist Hospital, harnessing the latest advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and the care that you deserve.